I'm excited to be bringing up Mr. Farrah Alford. Just love this man. Let's give it up for him. Farrah's been a part of our church, really one of the founders of our church, serves in so many different ways in leadership at Oak City, and really has a heart for God. And I've seen that in him, and I'm excited for him to be able to share this morning.
Do I need to get the other microphone? Is that okay? Is this all right? Okay, perfect. Yeah, thank you, Jonathan. Jonathan thought he was taking the Sunday off, but about 15 minutes from now, he's going to figure out that he gave me the Sunday off. Come on. All right. I'm just warming up. Y'all enjoying Christmas season? Full on? Fully in it? It's upon us. It's here. It's here and it's coming. We, Lacey and I are getting ready for Christmas this year, and our daughter Abigail's 2.5 years old. Like, babe, we're gonna do Elf on the Shelf? Is the elf gonna come? She's like, no, I'm not inviting that demon in our house. So we're doing Shepherd on a Search. I'm not gonna ask who of y'all are doing Elf on a Shelf. But I don't know, we don't know who's enjoying the shepherd more. If Abigail's enjoying the shepherd more, if we're enjoying the shepherd more. But you just never know where that shepherd's gonna be. Amen. Like Jesus. Okay, we're going to pray. Keep this legal. Father, we thank you for today. God, we thank you that your presence is here. Lord, we thank you that you're here and you're coming, that you're moving among us. And Holy Spirit, we invite you. We invite your presence. We invite your word. Father, come and manifest yourself. Father, come and honor your word. Transform us. Plant something in us, God. That would produce great fruit. Water good seed, Lord. And we ask and we trust you to bring forth your grace and your fruit from this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're continuing in this series of wonder. So Jonathan gave me permission. I can just kind of add wonder wherever I want to add it. So we're going to talk today about the wonder of relationship. It's Christmas season, so I thought I'd start with Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7 says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." You know, it separates what we have that no one else has, no other religion even claims to offer, is relationship with our God. Right, a lot of people are trying to get to their God, trying to please their God, trying to really just live a life where it keeps their God from smiting them, right? That's their position, that's their posture. But through Christ, because he came to us, we have the opportunity to have relations with him, right? He couldn't have relations with us. We couldn't have relations with him without his spirit, without his grace, without his sacrifice. So in the greatest act of humility ever known, he came to earth as a man, as us. He came and lived amongst us as us, and then died for us so that we can then have relationship with him. Amen. Basic gospel here. So he grafted us in, he saved us, but he could not have done that without crucifying himself. But because he crucified himself, we can call him things like Father, like Emmanuel, God with us, like the great I am, or the rose of Sharon, the lily in the valley, or the bright and morning star, or the ever-present help in our time of need. He is whatever we need him to be whenever we need him to be that. He's always amongst us, and he's always with us. He's always drawing us and calling us into a deeper place with him because of the sacrifice that he made for us. He wanted us so bad that he killed himself so that we could come into relationship with him. You know, I love it earlier just talking about who he is, that whenever I find that I feel far from him, whenever I feel like, you know, I'm having a hard time getting to him or even becoming aware of him, if I'll just turn my heart to him and start declaring who he is, immediate, it's like I'm taken into his presence. Y'all ever notice that? Like if you're feeling dry or whatever, you're having a hard time connecting or distracted, just start to tell him who he is and he'll come. He loves it when you tell him who he is. Just like if somebody calls me and wants to tell me how great I am, right? I'm gonna want to listen. Right? He's not all that different. When we talk about him, when we praise him, when we exalt him, he comes to us. So three wonders of relationship. Or I would say three, if this were not the wonder series, I would say three aspects of relationship I'm going to talk about today. But since we're in the wonder series, we'll call it three wonders of relationship. And the first wonder is that relationship, to have relationship, healthy relationship, requires mutual sacrifice. I want to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, and all of this is a gift from God who... Yeah, we'll start there. I know we're picking up in the middle of this chapter. Verse 18 says, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. Say, through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So Jesus, God initiated this new covenant relationship with us by sending his son. By sending a sacrifice. You know, no one, that's why the Pharisees totally missed him. No one was counting on him sending a lamb for slaughter, right? They were counting on a king to be glorified and praised and to rescue them from the Roman Empire. But they didn't see him because of the way in which he came as a lamb to slaughter. It's because God wanted a relationship with us, but he couldn't violate his nature. So the only way not to violate his nature is to make us like him. So then he could interact with us without violating who he is, right? So if we were sinful and awful and stayed in our dead state, right, we were unable to have connection with him. So then he came down and made us like himself through his death, through his resurrection, through his spirit, and now we're able to have communion and interaction with him. But it started because he made the ultimate sacrifice. And now that he sacrificed for us, now it's our turn to sacrifice for him. Because anytime you come into relationship, it requires mutual sacrifice. Healthy relationship requires mutual sacrifice. I'm reminded, you know, that the most obvious for us on earth example of that is marriage, right? How many know marriage requires a lot of sacrifice? A healthy marriage requires a lot of sacrifice. You get a lot of benefits, but it's not without a lot of sacrifice. If you're like me, you might have particular benefits in mind more so than the sacrifice when you got married, but you know, but you learn quickly that sacrifice enhances connection and relationship. And the closer connection you want to be in, the more sacrifice that is required. I know this is a basic example. Lacey and I, when we had very different schedules before marriage. Lacey's family was always very early, 5 o'clock dinner, 7 o'clock bedtime, 4:30 morning rise, right? My family was more like 9 o'clock dinner, 12 o'clock bedtime, 7:30 rise and be late, right? But quickly, I began to realize that if I wanted to have and sustain connection with Lacey, I needed to do some adjusting to my schedule. I needed to change the way in which I did things. And so I adopted more or less her schedule and sleeping, right? And bedtime and eating and all that. But what happened was because of that, there's a sanctity of becoming more like she is. And because of that, we're able to spend more time together. We're able to go to sleep with each other. That's incredibly important. You know, then all of a sudden I find myself getting up early. Now all of a sudden I'm more productive in the morning. I have more productive days. I'm more efficient. Why? Because I sacrificed not initially to be those things, but because I wanted more connection with her. And as a result of the sacrifice, I got more connection with her. And the sacrifice is worth it because connection is our goal. The connection's worth the sacrifice. And so often in our relationship with Christ, sometimes we forget, right, we're in the middle of being blessed and being in a grace culture, that there is sacrifice required. There's obedience required to strengthen our relationship with God. And if you're doing that to obtain something you don't already have, that's called striving. It wears out. But when you do it from a posture of a place of just loving him, of wanting to know him, of wanting to be with him, it becomes seamless. And you can look up and you could have changed your entire life around, gotten a new set of friends, cut out half your movies, changed your music, done all that, and never even stopped like to make a point about that. It's just kind of what naturally happens out of relationship. So I think in this season, it's important to think about, you know, what kind of sacrifices are we making continually to foster that connection, to foster that relationship with him, that intimacy with God. Because there's so much competing for our attention. But if we will sacrifice, you know, our time and sacrifice just becoming more aware of him and allow him, putting him in the forefront of our mind and our time, I know that will create, that will bear a lot of fruit. And it's interesting because the more we sacrifice things that are of value, the greater measure that we experience and the greater impartation, greater grace we receive from him. So where is our sacrifice? Number two, I want to talk about that relationship produces compassion. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Some of you are probably there before me. It says, "So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weakness, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we are in need it most." God understands what it's like to be us. He has compassion on us. Webster's defines compassion as a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. Think about that. Because Christ experienced every temptation, every sin, every form of brokenness, abandonment, loneliness that we've ever had, he's able to have compassion on us. He knows what that feels like. Not only that, but that gives him, that motivates him, fuels a strong desire in him to alleviate us, to rescue us, to bring healing to us, to break in and transform us. Isn't that awesome to think about? Have you ever thought about like how motivated Christ is to meet you where you are? So oftentimes we're trying to get to him. It's like we miss the fact that just how much compassion he has for us. How motivated he is to come and rescue you and meet you and provide for you what you're in need of. This whole season is about him coming to us. The compassion that he has on us. And if we're caught up in performance, it's hard to see compassion. God can't have compassion on me because I got this list running back here. You know that list, the should list, should not have list. Either way, you're just shouldn't on yourself. That should list, yeah. But he's not looking at your should list, right? He is compelled by compassion in each of our lives. He is compelled to come to us. He is compelled to meet us. He is compelled to be with us. He understands. No other God even had the audacity to get there, but except him. He is motivated. He's not trying to make us perform or get us in line in any way. No, he wants to meet us where he is, where we are, because he understands. You know, he understands us better than we understand ourselves. Oftentimes we don't even understand, you know, why we do what we do or why we don't do what we don't do. He does. See, that's why sin's no longer the issue, because there's always a motivation out of behavior that's however he's fallen, from our fallen nature, so to speak, that motivation comes from brokenness. It doesn't come from identity, right? So he understands the brokenness underneath the shortcoming, and he is always focused on the brokenness. Focused. That's why Danny Silk, y'all have heard much of Danny Silk. I know some of you are very familiar with him. He always talks about, you know, what the problem is. The problem is whatever's broken. That's the problem. And Christ is compelled to meet our brokenness, compelled to meet where the problem is, and he is able to see that because he has been as we are. I don't know. Well, RKCG recently did Thanksgiving, delivered Thanksgiving dinners to underprivileged communities in Birmingham. I mean, we Lacey and I pulled up to one particular community, and you know, kind of looking over our shoulders both ways. We didn't exactly fit in. And we walk up to this door. You know, at first you're feeling kind of nervous. You're feeling, you know, uneasy. It's not your normal environment. Came up to a door, and a 16-year-old young woman came out to accept our Thanksgiving dinner. She had a do-rag on, a bandana deal that said, "I love Jesus." Big smile on her face. Cigarette burns over her entire body. And you just thought, wow, there's a whole other world out here that I fail to have compassion for at times. That we get so caught up in ourselves that we're unable to see past ourselves to the needs of others. So where is our compassion this season? And how good are we at seeing, or how successful are we looking past ourselves and seeing, having compassion for those who have greater needs than we have? And it was such a breath of fresh air, like standing there talking to that woman, and you know, you think I'm about to bless her because I've got the turkey, you know, I'm going to pray, I'm from church. And the more she shared, the more she talked with us, the more we saw that radiant smile in the midst of that environment. All of a sudden, she started blessing us. And I told Lacey, when we left, it was like a breath of fresh air. I was like, I've got to get back. There was a day when I was in the projects all the time. Like new guys that gotten shot that are in jail for the rest of their lives. Like, I've seen a lot of things, and but I'd become so insulated over the years, and it was such an inspiration to get there and have compassion. Because when you have compassion, it's like there's a freedom in compassion. There's a joy. It's crazy. It's just like I don't know how else to say it. That's in compassion. You can't have compassion out of lack. You have compassion out of an awareness of overflow. That's where compassion comes from. And our third aspect or wonder of relationship is that how relationship produces fruit. Relationship produces fruit. So go to John chapter 15. Probably my favorite passage of scripture. Promise I've been here before. John chapter 15, verse 1. So this is Jesus, obviously. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. So as we abide in him, that's where the fruit comes. That he's continually calling us to stay connected with him. And connection with God, the New Testament is actually, it's raised the standard of what's possible in our lives. If we don't have connection with God, like, there's nothing good in us. We live in constant defeat. But as you grow in your connection with him, the level of victory that you live in, that you walk in, ought to also be growing. So as your connection grows, your victory grows. As your connection grows, your fruit grows. So then all of a sudden, all of these things, obedience, your quiet, all those things become important, not so that you can check them off the list. They become important because it's our way of staying connected, our way of allowing his spirit to flow through us to bring forth the fruit. So oftentimes, have you ever been surprised by fruit? Like your fruit just shows up sometimes? And the other person might not recognize it, but you're like, where did that response come from? All of a sudden, or something will happen that would initially, historically, may have really triggered you. Holidays, you may have some opportunities for that. But all of a sudden, like you find that maybe you respond with compassion instead of respond out of lack. Or you respond in a way that is so much different than previously. Why? Because you've developed that fruit. You have that fruit that is coming from out of relationship. So the more I have a relationship with him, the more I am becoming like him. The closer I get to him, the more I learn what he is like, and the more I become like him. See, as we spend time, we don't really know how it happens, but as we spend time with him, we become like him. As you spend time in his presence, you become like him. That's why sometimes it's just great just to sit. Remain in me, like that's not, like how do you do that? How do you remain in him? There's something about resting and just having the freedom just to be with him. Be in his presence that allows us that allows him to go deeper in us. I remember I heard the story about a gentleman who was at a really powerful conference, and his dad was a big pastor in a certain movement, and his son's having this encounter with God. I think he was shaking and full on encounter, and his dad just walked around. It was like for 45 minutes, just walked around him and said, "Don't be afraid, son. Let it go deep. Don't be afraid, son. Let it go deep." And there's something about allowing him to go deep in you. Are you allowing him to go deep? Are you making space for him to go deep in you? That's where he said earlier, that's where your standards change. That's where, all the things we look for externally, it all starts inward. It all starts out of that abiding, that relationship. That's where the fruit comes. Fruit doesn't lie. You can't like fake fruit. You either have it or you don't, right? And that's my charge to us during this season is just be aware of, what is the sacrifice you're making for him? Where is your sacrifice? How would you just take inventory of how you feel like you are sacrificing? I know even as I was preparing this sermon, I began to get convicted about my own life. Where have I, allowed my standards to sway? Where have I allowed my attention to drift away from him, from what's truly mattering? What's the purpose and the point? What's the posture of our heart as we go through our lives? We want the posture of our heart to be towards him, towards surrendered and yielded to him, right? And then I used to always think I had to do some crazy radical change, like my outside life, to show I was dedicated to Jesus. But what I found was that all God's looking for is the shift in posture of our heart. That as the posture of our heart changes, our motivation changes, our actions change. It's not so hard to discern. Like, we don't have to God's will. Because God's will is a natural outflow of our continued obedience. Us doing the Lord's will through our life, or finding ourselves in the right places, it comes out of just a connection. You begin to move in rhythm with him, and it's no longer a huge decision. People ask me, I get asked a lot of times, but I'm looking for maybe make a job, I got a job change, I've got two options, I don't know what to do or where to go. I don't know it's as if people are trying to determine which one's right and which one's wrong. And what I love about flowing out of obedience, or flowing, when you know you're flowing in the Spirit, you're either going to A, know very clearly, or B, they're both right.
Someone's theology just exploded.
You're either going to know clearly where to go, what to do, or they're both right, and God's looking to co-labor with you and wants to see what decision you're going to make. You're over there saying, God, what do you want me to do? And he's over there going, what do you want to do? So obedience, compassion, and fruit. How is your fruit? Where is your fruit? Again, I think my whole point of this message is to take inventory about the status of our relationship and our connection in the midst of this busyness, in the midst of the busyness of life, of, you know, quote unquote Christmas, you know, everything that's going on. So I want to invite Michaela. Is Michaela in here? Yeah, Michaela's going to come up and play. And she's going to play. And as she plays, I just want y'all just to ask the Lord. Ask the Lord, you know, ask him about your connection. Ask him how he's been feeling in your relationship with him. Just take inventory in yourself. And I believe there's going to be an opportunity just to recommit yourself, even this holiday season, to recommit your focus to him, to recommit your dedication to him, to recommit your priorities, and just allowing him to set your priorities as we move into this season. Allow him to determine your steps and really focus on, and I know it's hard, but sacrifice, but concentrating on him and allowing him to be at the forefront of your mind. So Father, we ask that you would come. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would come and move in this room and that you would speak to us, Father, that you would allow the distractions to fall away. And God, in faith, we put you in the center of our heart. We put you in the center of our mind. And we fix our eyes on you. And we focus on you. And we invite you, Father. Come, we want to abide in you. We want to be with you. We want to rest in you.